the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
You're listening to Business Talk Radio, where we take business to the next level.
And welcome back to the show. I am your host, Mike David. Joining me today, please welcome my guest, Tina Stromstead. Tina, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for asking. And why don't you start with first putting out your contact info, or whatever is the best way for my audience to reach out to you for after the show.
Probably the best way would be my website. It is tinastromstead.com. That's tinastromstead.com. And I think it's a good source because they can find my phone number, they can find that I'm in San Francisco, but they can also find resources no matter where you live. You can have a look at short video clips where I'm giving talks and examples of the kind of work I do. You can also download articles for free and have a look. You can search for other kinds of resources. You can listen to interviews. So it's a kind of, there's a lot of text, but it's also interactive in the sense that you can find things, whether it's in text or video or other kinds of media, webinars that people can listen to. So there's a lot of information there, and I welcome people to go there and check it out.
Awesome. And Tina, we're glad to have you back with us. We're excited to get more information and insight from you. But for those who are first time tuning into you or may not be as familiar, if you can, just kind of go over what it is you do exactly and just a little bit of background about yourself.
Sure, thanks. Well, I do several things. My work, maybe like many other people's work, is integrative. So what that means is that I bring together different parts of the field of psychology, the field of body work, the field of dance, of dream work, so that I can work with people as a Jungian psychoanalyst. So what that means is that I became a licensed psychotherapist, going to graduate school, getting my master's and my PhD, studying psychology. And then I went on and did a postdoc at the San Francisco Jung Institute here. Carl Jung was a Swiss psychoanalyst who lived from 1875 to 1961 in Switzerland, and he developed a way of working with the deep psyche that engaged dreams as ways to illuminate people's inner conflicts, feelings, we could even say the spiritual condition of their life at that point, and even a reflection sometimes of body symptoms or things going on in the body that were being outpictured in the movies of their dreams. So Jung's work can be very valuable to understand things at a deeper level and in a creative way. He also had people paint their dreams and their feelings and sometimes dance them, which is something that I do. So I work not only with words like regular talk therapy, but also with the body, because the body is holding the treasures from our unconscious, our deeper feelings. Body symptoms are often a way to try to express things that are out of balance in some way. We don't want to blame people for them, but we want to be curious about them instead of just taking medicine, also letting the body itself express what it's struggling with, because there's psychological aspects, emotional aspects, spiritual aspects, relational aspects to all body symptoms. So we want to consult the doctor, but we also have an opportunity to be curious about what they might be meaning, what they might be trying to express, how we can tend to them, care about them, and bring more balance into our life so they might not have to manifest quite as strongly. And when I say that, it's not a substitute for medical treatment or intervention or assessment or surgery if needed, but it's a kind of complementary way of working with people. Mm-hmm. Also, early traumas that people have had, relationship challenges, who doesn't have those, questions about whether you're doing the right kind of work for yourself, if you're in the right vocation. Sometimes people in midlife, even if they're really successful, are wondering, what does this all mean? I might have shared with you that I studied with Joseph Campbell, who was a marvelous teacher of mythology. He wrote many books. One of them was called Hero with a Thousand Faces. And he said that you can climb the ladder to success only to find that it's leaning against the wrong wall, that the ladder might be leaning against the wrong wall. So it's also a way to find out what your own unique path is, what your right action or right way of living is. So these are some of the things that are involved in integrating Jungian analysis or talk therapy that's depth-oriented, body-oriented psychotherapy, and dance movement therapy, where we may work with music to help support what wants to be expressed in the body, or we may work in quiet to really be able to listen to what's already being expressed, whether you're sitting in the chair and talking and your hands are moving or your feet are moving or you're holding your breath, or whether you're standing and expressing yourself in the way you hold your body or the way you walk. So these are some of the ways that we might begin. That's kind of a lot, but it might give you more of a sense of what it's about.
Yeah, I think it's super fascinating to learn about what you do. Just reason being, because when most people think of, you know, psychotherapy, I think a lot of people will think about the talk therapy first, mm-hmm. you know, that traditional style. What's so interesting is, you know, you, kind of the perspective of working with the body. Now, in your experience, what would you say are some of the main benefits of the body psychotherapy as opposed to, you know, the traditional talk therapy?
That's a great question. Well, for one, it's more integrative. So there are times when people come into my office where they've already had a lot of psychotherapy or psychoanalysis, and they say, you know, I understand my problems as best I can. I understand the root of them, how they may have grown out of how I grew up and what was going on in my family, the things that were painful or difficult, perhaps even abusive, or just parents who were really busy and became neglectful because they needed two incomes and they really weren't around and the caretaker wasn't really prepared to be with the child and mirror them and see who they really are. Or maybe it's the times you grew up in and there's poverty, you know, or there's violence, like in neighborhoods that we have across America. We're seeing a lot of that now. People are growing up with a lot of anxiety and a lot of trauma. Or maybe it's wartime, you know, and you carry those wounds, or your parents or grandparents experienced them, and the fear and the paranoia and a sense of self that's sort of diminished, or paranoid even, can get carried down from one generation to the next unless it experiences healing. So when people come in and they've already done a lot of talk therapy, or let's say they've never had therapy, there's a chance to engage the body as well so that you come to actually feel what you're feeling and you can find ways to express it instead of just having an intellectual understanding. You can begin to express it, give it shape in your life. You can find words for it after discovering the patterns or the movements that are coming out of your body. And you can begin to change. You can actually use movement or work with the breath or with grounding to support the new life, healthy new life, which is always deeply embedded inside of us and just needs encouragement, support, a non-judgmental atmosphere to be able to emerge, a kind of compassionate witness to begin to come out. So for a person who knows how to talk about things, they often say, I understand all about it, but I haven't really changed. And I don't really know even what the first step to that is, besides understanding. Or if they don't have the words because they're a child, you know, or they've been really injured and they feel kind of numb, mm-hmm. and they can't really express what's going on, the body will help us. So that's a place that we can turn to help contact what's going on a deeper level and work with it more directly through a number of ways of working with movement and the breath.
Right. Yeah, I think it's so cool because it's so true. You know, a lot of people, I think, have a hard time expressing, you know, their feelings and thoughts just solely through words. Not everyone is good. Some people are better than others, of course. But being able to kind of express that in a different way really kind of opens the doors for a lot of people, for sure. Now, I do have more questions for you, but we're going to go to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll get more information with Tina Stromstead. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
The next step to following your dreams is closer than you think. KDMA and the Actors Studio is an established, reputable talent management and services agency based on the East Coast. Actors, models, singers, voiceover artists, and live entertainers trust their careers with KDMA. Not only does KDMA advise and market talent, they provide talent with the necessary tools to be successful in today's demanding entertainment industry, offering in-house classes, coaching, photo and video services, reel and audio production, showcases, seminars, and more. KDMA makes talent development and advancement simple and affordable. For more information about talent representation and services at KDMA and the Actors Studio, visit KDMA and theactorstudio.com. That's KDMA and theactorstudio.com. Let KDMA take your career to the next level.
Every business needs professionals they can trust. Let it be your lawyer, accountant, electrician. Even the company plumber are all people you can trust. So why are you settling for your printer vendor? They never respond to your questions, and when they do, it's always late. Always seems to take an eternity to get your printing done and ready, but you've dealt with it because there really wasn't another alternative. That is, until now, Max Image Printers. Take the worry out of your printing needs. As a hybrid company, both on website and phone, they welcome clients, businesses of all sizes, to call and ask questions to make as many orders as you need, with the confidence of having your work printed, beautiful, and ready in just a few business days. Bring the trust back into your printing. Maximize your printing experience with Maxim Image Printing. Call now at 801-977-8330. Email Keith at maximage.net. Visit the website, maximage.net. Max Image Printing. Quality service guaranteed. If you're not happy, you don't pay.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
You're listening to Business Talk Radio, where we take business to the next level.
And welcome back. Of course, I'm your host, Mike David. Joining me again is Tina Stromstead. Now, Tina, of course, before the break, we were discussing, going a little bit deeper on how you help people using the body psychotherapy. Now, I wanted to ask you, because one of the things that you talk about is what you call the shadow. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and why it's important?
Sure. The shadow is a concept that Jung developed. It doesn't start with him, but the way he described it is a kind of unconscious part of the personality that is characterized by traits and attitudes which the conscious part of ourselves, our personality, our ego, the part that we tend to identify with, who we think we are, tends to reject. And it often comes up in dreams, you know, depicting characters that are unsavory to us, like, you know, robbers who break into your house, or people who don't treat other people well, or, for some people, depending on what your personality, who you identify with being, if you had to grow up being the good girl, or the good boy. The shadow might manifest in your dreams as a kind of sexy siren, you know, or somebody who's a bit of a prankster or a trickster, or a motorcycle guy, you know, or, you know, it could come up in many different forms. And the conscious ego is ashamed of that kind of figure in their dream. They'd go, oh, God, that's not really me. Who could that be? But in fact, it is a part of them that's been often repressed, either because it wasn't acceptable in their family or wasn't acceptable in the culture they grew up in, and they had to push those energies back down. And where do they push them? Back into the body. So we don't have access to what are actually vital energies. They're lively energies. And when they're pushed down, we don't feel as whole as we could be. We don't feel as vivid or alive or as creative because we're only a kind of small slice of ourselves. We're not all that we could be. And to make things difficult in another way, when we're not in touch with those parts of ourselves, we tend to project them on other people. So we think that they are the ones who have those issues or those mean streaks or those inadequacies and that we're okay. So sometimes when I'm teaching, because I train psychotherapists and work with people in the healing professions of various kinds, you know, I'll use an example of if you're really not aware of your shadow, you say, this is not me. That person, that dream figure is not me, or those qualities are not me. And when you begin to get in touch with them, you say, well, maybe it's hardly ever me. And then when you integrate them, you really get a sense of them and you're no longer so afraid or ashamed of them. You know that that too is a part of you. You say, this too is a part of me. And you begin to acknowledge it so that you don't see other people as necessarily bad or evil, you know, or dangerous. We have a lot of that going on in our country and, of course, in countries around the world going on right now, particularly with the immigration crisis that's happening all over the world. You know, we tend to project the unsavory parts onto other people who we may not have met, or we may not have met anyone even from the culture that they're from, and say negative things about them and make politics about it. Or we just do it with our neighbor, you know, or we do it with our boyfriend or our spouse. We put the negativity onto them. Now, having said that, we might call that the dark shadow, but there's also something we call the light shadow, which are those properties that have a lot of goodness. But if our self-esteem isn't so good, we can't really own them. We don't see them in ourselves. Probably our friends do, or other people who are close to us, they know we have these good traits, but we're not aware of it because we're used to being criticized or judged, and we've internalized those negative critical voices. So, you know, an example of the light shadow might be, you know, I was working with somebody the other day who said, I'm too tall as a woman. She's taller than a lot of the people she grew up with and that she works with. Mm-hmm. Her father was very tall and her mother was on the shorter side. And so she hunches because she feels like she can't take up the space that her body actually occupies. She's a beautiful, wonderful, bright woman, but she tries to make herself really small. And so I asked her, well, are there any models that you have in your own mind, examples of tall women who you would, here's a turn of phrase, look up to, you know, somebody you admire who has that trait that you feel good about? And she spontaneously said, on the one hand, Michelle Obama, and on the other hand, Beyonce. Mm. So these are two examples of cultural women. They're kind of archetypes in a way. They're larger than life, what they stand for. But one of them is more demure but strong, you know, tends to cover up with more clothes, but is expressive and is very interested in what's going on in the culture and promoting health for kids and diversity and equality and so forth. And of course, so that's Michelle, and of course, so is Beyoncé, you know, as also a woman of color. She's interested in bringing sexuality out of the closet so that it's not bad, it's not something to be shamed, to be strong, to be expressive, to be a woman who can succeed in her career. Those are newer archetypes, newer potentials, newer images for many women. And so I just encouraged her, when you find yourself hunched over and your shoulders really tight, think about one of those women. You might want to put one on one shoulder and one on the other and feel your feet on the ground and let yourself breathe. And you might find that it's okay to be a tall woman and to just simply occupy the space that the gods gave you, that is yours to live. So there's an example of something that was repressed, shunned, disliked, and how it showed up in the body, and how you could begin to work with it.
Wow. That is quite incredible, just from being aware, like you said, that shadow and, you know, starting to embrace, you know, the things that you dislike about yourself, I think, super beneficial. Now, do you have any quotes or any poems that you could share with us to kind of send us off?
Sure. Thank you. Now, I'm going to say a couple of things, if that's okay.
Sure.
I'm going to start with Prospero from Shakespeare's Tempest, who at a certain point toward the end, when he's more developed, he says, "This thing of darkness, I acknowledge mine." So he's no longer blaming it on other people. And then Rumi, who is one of our great mystical poets, has a wonderful poem called The Guest House. And he says, "This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and attend them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He, she, may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door, laughing, and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond." That's Rumi.
Wow, I really, really enjoyed that. And where can people go to get more information about you and all your services?
My website would be a great place. There are many resources for people there. And that's my name spelled out and then .com. So TinaStromstead.com. TinaStromstead.com.
Awesome. Well, Tina, I just want to say thanks again for just taking the time out and giving us even more information and valuable insight on how you help people. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Mike. And thanks to you for your good questions. And thanks to the radio audience for tuning in.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much once again. And we definitely look forward to speaking with you again soon. And for everyone else out there, please stay tuned. We're going to be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
You're listening to Business Talk Radio, where we take business to the next level.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo. A lot of music connects to people all over the country, but unfortunately, so does something else: childhood hunger. 15 million kids struggle with hunger right here in America. And yet, every year, billions of pounds of surplus food in the U.S. go to waste instead of going to the children in need. Feeding America is working to change this. The Feeding America nationwide network of food banks rescues this surplus of food to help provide meals to families in virtually every community in the United States, including yours. But they just can't do this alone. Join me in the fight against hunger in America. For more information on what you can do to get involved, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.